Blog Talk Radio.
Dogwood Drive, your old truck and a 9-to-5 comes home at night to a pretty wife with a baby due. He'll sleep in on Saturday, cut the grass if it don't rain. After church, he'll watch the game and have a beer or two. He'll stand up when he hears the anthem, and that won't ever change. He's still a soldier. His blood runs red, white, and blue. He put away his gun and boots, but he still believes the American dream. To his last breath, he'll always be a soldier. For the news at 10, he'll see those places that he's been. And when a brother falls, there's a part of him that does too. And if they called and needed him back, all he'd be on that plane. He's still a soldier. His blood runs. His last breath, he'll always be a soldier. He don't wake up anymore when he hears thunder. Oh, but even if he lives to be a
Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters and maybe a Twisted Mister or two. I hope everyone is having a good week so far and will have an even better one in the days to come. And hello, Naomi. How's it going?
Hello, hello, Pam. Yes, going pretty good. Pretty good. Coughing less and less.
Good.
That's a miracle. I'm all coughed out.
good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear you're feeling better. Well, I have to say we have an amazing show tonight. I mean, I know we always have amazing shows because we always have amazing poets contributing. But, you know, there are certain shows in the year that I am so happy and so proud to even be a small part of. And this is one of them. You know, Veterans Day for some countries, Remembrance Day is November 11th. And we decided we would use this show on November 8th to pay tribute to those who have served in the military. And I was reading through the rights just like a couple hours before the show, like an hour before the show, to be honest, because I was a little behind schedule. But and there were so many that just really pull at the heartstrings and just brought tears to my eyes, that I can tell you all that we're definitely in store for some amazing heartfelt poetry tonight. And you will probably hear me say the words heartfelt quite a bit tonight, just as a warning, because it is so
I'll say
true.
Emotive.
Yeah, and then we'll get everybody else to choose a word of the night. But no, it is going to be a wonderful night of poetry. I am truly looking forward to it. And
so important,
yes,
eh?
And we do have
so important to remember.
Oh, absolutely. To remember, to pay tribute to our veterans that have made so many sacrifices. Absolutely. And I'm going to go ahead and I am going to start bringing people on. So first of all, I'd like to welcome Gray to the show. Welcome, Gray. Glad you could join us.
Hi, Gray.
Hi, Naomi.
And then we have Randy. Welcome, Randy. Glad you could join us.
Hello. Hello, Pam, Naomi, Gray.
Hey. Hi, Randy. Hello.
And then we have Laurent. Welcome, Laurent. Glad you could join us.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Bonjour. Oh, wow. The man.
We have one more. I would like to welcome Ruth Martz to the show. Welcome, Ruth. Glad you could be here.
Hey.
Thank you.
Hi, Ruth.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Ruth.
Hello, Ruth.
Hi, right now. Ruth, did you need to just read and run, or can you hang out for a while?
Sure, I'll be glad to, as long as I don't mess it up.
All right.
Wonderful. Oh, no, you can't.
Not at all. Not at all.
We do it all, we
all,
do
right.
it all by ourselves.
All right.
All right. And David says, an LNP vet listening, question, shout out. Well, you know, hopefully some of them are listening. In fact, well, actually, I know Laurent is a vet. So if nothing else, we have you listening, right, Laurent?
Oh, shout out.
There you go. There you go. If we have any vets, go ahead and shout out in LNP. So, all right. And we'll go ahead and get this started. So, all right, because we got a nice full board of poetry. So, Randy, I've gone ahead and I put your poem up. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okay. Excuse me. My poem is entitled Memories. It never really occurred to me I shouldn't enlist. Serving my country, something I couldn't resist. Our family tradition of honor, not of obligation, I chose to emulate the greatest generation, following in the footsteps of my tough old man who fought in the Pacific headed toward Japan, never mentioning it and avoided any questions, changing the subject with a pained expression. I had no idea of what he may have experienced, his blank stare just making it more mysterious. And surprisingly one day, with a sigh of regret, whispered, I've seen things I just cannot forget. And extremely hesitantly continued to explain, war, not glorious, it's an enterprise full of pain, killing some, leaving others with scars unseen, it's his memory, the carnage so obscene. After a few more years, I still enlisted anyway. Eventually, I too would march off into the fray. and seeing more firsthand, the awe and the shock. My son now asks me about it, but I won't talk. Dad, it's Veterans Day. Why don't we celebrate? I said, it's bedtime. Come on, it's getting late. When you're older, we'll talk. I'll tell you all I know, a war, and how I pray you'll never have to go. And Paul.
Wonderful reading right there, Randy. Thank you. I'm glad you were inspired. And Naomi, let's start with your thoughts.
Oh, wow. You know, yeah, this is, you know, like I said, it's going to be an emotive night, and this really pulls at the heartstrings, you know, first from generation to generation, first your father, and then you, and then, you know, the your you know, you hope your son will never know war. You know, every parent's wish that they don't know war. But I can understand the not talking part, because I had an uncle that was in World War II, and he never talked about it, never. But, you know, he had hardships. He became an alcoholic and everything afterwards. But, yeah, he never said a word about it. So, yeah, it's hard. And this poem is so well written, reflects so much that emotion there, captured it so well. Oh, bravo for this write.
Thank you, Naomi.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said, Naomi. And Laurent, your thoughts.
It's a very well-written piece, first of all, looking at the generations who served and what they had to do and what they won't talk about. Just, you know, basically what you guys have been saying. Military service in some families is I don't want to say it's a habit, but it begins with an ancestor, usually 100, 150 years ago. You'll find that every succeeding generation had somebody in the military. It's a tradition. And in other families, it is actually frowned upon. Now, yeah, war, you can frown on war. But look, you have to defend your country. A lot of bad people out there. No excuse not to. We just pray that our children will never have to go. And that's basically what this poem is talking about. Nice job, Randy.
Thank you, Laurent.
Absolutely. Well said, Laurent. And Ruth, your thoughts on Randy's poem.
Randy, I just want to say that I appreciate your service to our country. And I think that was a very beautiful, intense poem where you described how you felt and how the generations were, you know, it went down that way. My father served in the military, in the Army and the Navy. So I understand what you're talking about, and that's very well written and explicit. Thank you for sharing that.
I'll bet he's very conflicted when it comes time for football season.
That's different. That's a man thing, I think.
That was a wonderful comment.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And Gray, your thoughts.
You did a beautiful read on this piece, Randy, and you know, it really speaks to the generational trauma that's caused by war and hoping that your children will never have to see it. So I thought it was beautifully done. Well written.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Greg.
You bet.
Wonderful comments, everybody. Yeah, Randy, I thought this was just absolutely an amazing write. You, as always, you have your great rhymes. I like how you take it, as people have said, from generation to generation. And you, the idea that oftentimes war isn't talked about because it's too painful to talk about. And how, you know, as Laurent pointed out, you know, we hope and pray that our children won't have to go to war. I really liked this all the way through, but especially with the part where he says, then surprisingly one day with a sigh of regret whispered, I've seen things I just cannot forget, and extremely hesitantly continue to explain, war not glorious is an enterprise full of pain. And I think that's a really good point right there, where the line that says it's an enterprise full of pain. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam.
Absolutely, and thank you. And all right, Ruth, I have your poem up. And so go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okay, the name of my poem is William Esslinger, Jr. My prompt was Home of the Free because of the brave. I remember you, the wild one, on a motorcycle, blonde hair from the summer sun. I called you Kahuna. I wish so much I could be your girlfriend. You wouldn't even look at me. I was too young. I remember when the traveling wall came. I cried, not just for you, but for all who were too young to die. I found your name, and I cried. You weren't gone long, no, not long at all. Perhaps you were one of the men at the Denver airport when where I stood above the tarmac and cried, from which vantage point I saw flag-covered caskets sitting in the sun. From the balcony as far as the horizon, my eyes could not see because I cried and I cried.
Beautiful read and write there, Ruth. I'm so glad you were inspired and were able to call in to read. I really like how this has a nostalgic feel to it, and it pays tribute not only to this young man and to the, you know, what could have been, you know, if he had lived, what would his life have been, you know, and the sadness of losing him, but it pays tribute in my eyes to all of those unfortunate young men and women who come home in caskets. And it's a strong write all the way through, but it's that ending that really grips me. From which vantage point I saw flag-covered caskets sitting in the sun from the balcony as far as the horizon, my eyes could not see because I cried and cried. That's a very impactful ending and an excellent write.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And Randy, your thoughts?
Yes, it was a it's a beautiful poem. It was a wonderful read, and I think it showed us the opportunity to understand how war affects not just the veterans, but also the people at home. Sometimes it's easy to overlook that, but everyone that goes off to war leaves someone behind, and either they return home alive or in a casket. And I think this is a wonderful tribute to those who have fallen, but also a tribute to those who have to experience seeing those caskets arrive home and cry and mourn for the ones that they've lost. So I really thought it was a very good poem.
Absolutely. I like how you mentioned that it's also a tribute to those who have to see the caskets come home. That was a great observation. Anne Gray, your thoughts?
You did an incredible read on that powerful write. The emotions are palpable and the details are stunning. Especially where Pam quoted as, you know, you cried, but you couldn't see the length of the, as far as the horizon, because you cried and cried. Yeah, that was very touching.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Laurent, your thoughts?
I don't think I'm misquoting this, but it's a saying, I think. They also serve to wait. And it's important to realize that the waiting can be worse for the person at home than the person who is actually in a war. I mean, they know where they are. They know they're safe. They know they're alive. But the people at home never know. And they imagine far worse every moment of the day. This really speaks very poignantly about people who don't go overseas and simply are there to receive the body.
Thank you. I appreciate your comment.
Absolutely. And a great comment, Lauren. And Naomi, your thoughts. Are you on mute, Naomi?
Yeah. Sorry. I was just saying to you, Ruth, that, you know, you made this poem into such a personal one because, you know, you introduce us to this young man who becomes a soldier. You introduce him to us in the beginning and, you know, with his blonde hair and, you know, his motorcycle and like his free spirit. And then that makes us witness your pain so deeply, so much more deeply throughout this rite, you know, especially right at the end there. And, you know, with overlooking those covered caskets, this is a magnificent rite, Ruth, really well done. And so, bravo.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Wonderful comments, everybody. And thank you, Ruth. You're absolutely welcome to stick around and hang out with us and, you know, read and comment on others' poetry. We'll go ahead and move forward to your right, Lauren. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
All right. This is called Here, Remembered. Walking battlefield cemeteries bathes me in the hush. Buried flesh and bone. I walk their earth, invade their privacy with silent apology. Crossed stalks of white sprout like skeletal headstones in long, curving rows that seem endless. My mind staggers at the numbers, unable to count the fathers and brothers who reside in this abstract calm, passing from life was neither simple nor quiet. Honored dead seems such a thin phrase as praise. Plots are cultivated, neat and floral, afar removed from the mud and blood of their estrangement from life. Song of shells whistling through air, replaced by the song of birds, feathered attendants who daily eulogize in jubilant chorus, unmindful of the agonies of men. They stalk the worms that hungry seek the meat of dead hearts that once loved and lived and beat no more. Here remembered, nam omni aeternum. End poem.
Wonderful read and write, Lauren. Thank you for bringing this and sharing it with us. Naomi, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, look, you know, what a wonderful write. You know, the juxtaposition throughout the poem is what really, you know, makes it so powerful. You know, the juxtaposition of the horror that they went through, and you know, like the flesh and the bone, and you know the quietness of and the birds singing against, you know, what they experienced, the bullets flying by their heads and stalking through the, where do you say it there, the mud and the blood. You know, the way you put the two together and you braid in and out from one to the other makes this such a powerful, powerful rite. And then you get down to the, you know, the worms that are they're eating the dead hearts that once loved and lived and beat no more, here remembered, you know, for all eternity. You know, what a powerful, powerful rite this is, Lorraine. Just a bravo. It's an amazing rite.
Merci, Naomi.
Lauren?
Bienvenue.
Yes, sir. Oh, sorry. Did you want to say something, ask Lawrence something?
I did. Is he there?
Yes, yes.
It's making that noise again.
But honey, I'm on the radio, honey.
Well,
Sorry. I'll take a break. Please hang up.
Huh. Ruth must be having trouble with her phone again. Well, I'll go ahead and move forward with comments. And
I'm here. I'm good.
Your thoughts.
Well, Lauren, you did a beautiful read on that poem, and it's filled with incredible imagery and emotion throughout. So, fantastic job.
Thank you, Greg.
And Randy, your thoughts?
Yes, Lauren, wonderfully written and read. Powerful and somber, watching over the graves of a fallen. It's a very serious and somber experience. I have a father and grandfather both buried in a military cemetery in Leavenworth, and looking at over those graves, it's a very serious experience that you covered very well in this. I love all the details that you every verse, every stanza is powerful, standing by itself. I like, I walk the earth, invade their privacy with silent apology. And I like going further down. Song of shells whistling through air, replaced by the song of birds, feathered attendants who daily eulogize in jubilant chorus. The juxtaposition of the war and the peacefulness of birds flying overhead is very powerful. I really like your poem.
Thank you very much.
And Ruth, I'm not sure if you have your phone working, but did you
mine?
Want to make a comment on Lawrence's poem?
I think it was a very intense, beautiful poem. Very reverent. I also feel like I like the way that even though he was walking through the cemetery, the birds and stuff, you know, that goes on. Life goes on. It just doesn't stop because someone passes, and the birds still, you know, do what they need to do, and when we be sad, we're just sad, and sometimes it's just a terrible torment. But I really liked that poem. It was very well written. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, absolutely. And wonderful comments, everybody. I have to say, Lawrence, as always, you are just brilliant with the imagery. But I love how this is the stark reality of war. As Randy brought up, there is a juxtaposition of the war and the abstract, the calm of watching the birds in the sky. And I, you know, to me, you really captured the essence. I also really like the Latin at the end, the nam omne austernum, if that sounds horribly, but for all eternity. I thought that was a nice touch. This is powerful right all the way through, but what really gets me is passing from life was neither simple nor quiet. Honored dead seems such a thin phrase as praise. Just amazing lines there, beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. I'm going to have to take just a couple of minutes to help to solve a technological problem, but I will be right back.
Sure, no problem. All right, all right. All right, and up next we have Marine Story by Dammit Dave and Gray. Would you give that a read for us, please?
Sure, you bet. Marine Story by Dammit Dave. Straight out of high school, he joined the Marines. Still a sweet kid, he had so many dreams. Special forces to get his degree, to be all the man that he knew he could be. Throughout basic training, this young man did well. No matter the task, he was sure to excel. For he had the drive that one needs to succeed. The hunger within him made him a rare breed. A muscular body, intelligent mind. He left other men in his unit behind. Week after week of PT and tough drill, his gunnery sergeant saw he had the skill. And when it was over, he stood in formation, a proud honor grad. His mom beamed with elation. It was time for a vacation with family and friends. Just 30 days. Oh, how quickly it ends. Report to your station. Your orders are in, said the voice on the phone. How the young man did grin. Finally ready to be a Marine, he flew the few and the proud, a true fighting machine. He looked at his orders when he reached the base. Replacing the smile was a frown on his face. There on the paper in plain black and white, report to Iraq, he was ready to fight. He just didn't think he would leave home so soon, but he packed up his bag and joined his platoon. Away to the desert to fight freedom's foe, an American soldier, a real G.I. Joe. Weapon in hand, his face beaming with pride, he fought in the trenches, his friends by his side. A harsh desert heat tried to beat them all down, but it just didn't know the Marines were in town. Iraqi insurgents, they fought in the streets, taking time here and there for some K-rats to eat. The young man sat down in his dirty foxhole. He opened his rations and swallowed them whole. And as he got up to go use the latrine, the young, proud Marine, his eyes stood wide open. He looked at his chest. An insurgent's bullet from quite close, he guessed. He looked at his sergeant and then tried to speak. Nothing came forth, and his body felt weak. His eyes rolled and closed as he fell on the sand, lying in silence, for death was at hand. Medics came running, but it was too late. This fine young Marine was resigned to his fate. He felt a warm hand tightly clutching his. Hold on, my young friend. You can make it through this. He smiled as the light faded from his green eyes and died a Marine neath blue Baghdad skies. End poem.
Wow. Wonderful, Vito Gray. And this is an amazing right. It was one of the rites that definitely pulled at my heartstrings and brought tears to my eyes. And I just want to take note and point out that Dave puts in his AN that this poem was published in the Gazette Virginian regional newspaper in 2006. And I think it was definitely a well-deserved publication. And I will comment more, but first I'm going to get thoughts from other people. So, Ruth, let's start with your thoughts.
Well, it almost made me cry. That, I don't know, it just seems like everybody's together, and then all of a sudden things all go to pieces and somebody passes away. And I think sometimes that it causes survivor's guilt and some PTSD as well. So I think this was really, it was to me very exquisite. And I can see why it was published. It's it's a very beautiful poem, very heart-rending.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's when you know it's good poetry. I mean, there's technical reasons why things are good poetry, but if it can, you know, emotionally affect you, that's definitely a sign. So excellent comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is very, really heart-wrenching for sure. You get to know, it's like following a movie, you know, you get to know the character, you see how he's proud, he's young, he's naive, he doesn't know really what he's getting into, and, you know, before he can even, you know, have the time to almost realize it, you know, he's shot and he dies. And, you know, it's really, really sad. It really gets me when he felt a warm hand tightly clutching to his. Hold on, my young friend. You can make it through this. He smiled as the light faded from his green eyes and died a Marine neath the blue Baghdad skies. The stanza, where he looked at his surgeon and then tried to speak. And, you know, he knows, you know. So you really feel you're in that place, inside of this soldier. And you feel everything. So really, really heart-wrenching right here. Bravo.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And, Gray, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
You know, I thought it was a harrowing tale of the life and death of a prospect Marine. Just haunting. Beautifully written.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Lawrence, I know you're back, but did you have a chance to read or hear the poem?
I did, yes. I just got done reading the piece, and this is the longest thing, damn it, Dave, has ever written as far as I know. It flows so well, and is so detailed, because what the experience he describes is realistic, it's positive, but ultimately it is realistic that one stands the weapon in hand, his face beaming with pride. He fought in the trenches, his friends by his side. The harsh desert heat tried to beat them all down, but he just didn't know the Marines were in town. Yeah, but no matter how tough, when that bullet finds you, you are a mere mortal after all, and you're going to die in the arms of your friends, who are your family at that time. Yes, you have a family back home, but the men you fight with, the men you will lay your life down for, who will also lay their lives down for you, is a family. What a moving piece. Outstanding.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Wonderful comment. And I'd like to welcome Weaver of Dreams, Kate, to the show. Welcome, Kate. Glad you could be here. Are you there, Kate? She must have stepped away or something. All right, well, just let us know when you're back, Kate. All right. Well, I have to say, Lawrence, Dave did say in LNP that it is his longest poem. So, and, yeah, but definitely was right that needed to be long to capture all the detail that it did. I thought this was a well-deserved publication, a powerful write that pulls at the heart. But more than pulling at the heart, it was, as I call, a gut punch of reality when it comes to the sacrifices made to war. This story, which could be a completely made-up story, and yet at the same time, it isn't a made-up story, you know, because this has happened. This does happen. And so it's a harsh reality of war with powerful lines. I really like where the part that says weapon in hand, it says being with pride, he fought in the trenches, his friends by his side. And then when it goes on to, and he got up to go use the latrine, blood sputtered forth from the proud young Marine. Oh my goodness, yeah, those lines really hit hard. And Dave was actually in the United States Air Force and served in Grenada and Desert Storm. So I'd like to thank him for not only his poem, but also for his service. And I know I already said it before, but I'll probably say a couple more times. I want to thank, of course, all veterans for their service. And, thank you very much. All right, and on to the next poem. All right. Up next, we have Respect Freedom by Betty Page. Now, Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please? Are you on mute, Naomi?
Oh, this mute button. Huh. Okay. Respect Freedom. Respect Freedom. I honor all those who's given their life for us, the gift of freedom. They sacrifice all, protecting, defending us. They go through pure hell. Some come back, some don't. Some live with those memories which haunt them daily. They deserve respect, honor, while showing them love by saying thank you. Not just for today, I think we should every day show them that we care. Genuine respect, because this means the world to them. This can make their day. Even just a smile, they deserve this and much more. Show them we love them. End poem.
You're on mute, Pam.
I am on mute. I am on mute, making the most beautiful comment I've ever made. So now you'll have to settle for the second most beautiful. No, I was saying I love how Betty writes from the heart and that she reminds us how important it is to not only show respect but love and kindness to these men and women who have served in the military. I like that she uses the phrase genuine respect because this means the world to them. This can make their day. Even just a smile, they deserve this and much more. Show them we love them. Those are just wonderful lines. And Gray, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, you did a beautiful job of reading that. And the poem itself is very stunning. I honor all those who gave their life for us, for the gift of freedom. And, that's so true. It's a beautiful thing, and, you know, you have to respect those lives that have been lost and taken away from us in order to protect our freedoms. So just a beautiful poem.
Absolutely. Well said there. And, Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, those end lines, even just a smile. They deserve this and much more. Show them we love them. The times are far different than they were in the 60s when I served, or the 70s when I served. There are such a select few who go to war now. They represent a majority of us, but a thin minority. Whereas the draft, of course, brought in people from all walks of life. Now, a volunteer, just those who want to fight, who feel the obligation. And I wish we showed them more love, even though we were heaped with scorn at the time. And we praise them now. It's still not enough, like the poem says.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. And I'd like to welcome Kate again. So, Kate, is your connection working better?
Hello. Oh, did you notice me before? I'm sorry. I tried to log in, but I got no sound. But I'm here now. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. Well, I'm glad you have sound now, and I'm glad you are here. So, all right. And did you get a chance to read or to hear Betty's poem?
No, unfortunately not. I got the last two words just as I heard the voice saying, "You can now join in." So, no, I'm sorry, I didn't. Yeah.
That's all right. There's plenty more to catch you on. All right. And Naomi, your thoughts. I haven't done any thoughts. Naomi, your thoughts.
I'm making a habit of this, ain't I? this was, like you said, Pam, this was written straight from the heart. Beautifully written, as Gray said. And, just an amazing, amazing write here by Betty Page. So, just a real and raw write. So bravo.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And your thoughts.
All these poems are just, to me, they're just so intense, and they all just weave in and out of each other. It's, I don't know if anybody else has the feeling, but I mean, it's like, what's the word I want? It integrates everybody that ever served in any of the forces, and that was a very beautiful read. They're also self-giving. You know what I mean? It's a projection of not only themselves, but they put themselves in the situation, if that makes any sense.
Well, it absolutely does. I think self-serving and the people putting themselves in this situation was a really great observation. So, wonderful comments, everybody. And up next, we have Uncle Charlie Heard the Call by Seagull. And Kate, I'm going to put you to work right away. Can you give that a read for us, please?
Yes, of course. No problem at all. Here we go with a beautiful picture. Ah, okay. 1917, a handsome young American with smiling eyes of blue and dimple on his chin. New uniform fresh pressed, leather boots shining bright, cap worn at a jaunty ankle the day he left to fight. British transport ship, his ride, to fight on foreign shore, surviving storm-tossed crossing, the first battle in his war. The awful smell of mutton, he wrote, reminded him of swill, not fit to feed a well man, they fed it to the ill. In France, nearby the River Marne, at the Battle of Belleau Wood, a wagoneer was he among the dead and dying he rode. Many a smiling eye of blue never smiled again. Many a young man's family mourned a dimpled chin. Uncle Charlie did return, a man who heeded the call, but the innocent boy he'd been never came back at all. End poem.
wonderful read there, Weaver, and what a wonderful write by Seagull. That picture actually is of, she says, meet my handsome and dapper Uncle Charlie, much older and bald by the time I came along, but always a prankster. I think that is just wonderful. I told her that it was indeed a very handsome picture and that it was a wonderful, heartfelt write that, you know, just, I really appreciated that this was a tribute that speaks not only to about her uncle, but about all the brave souls that served and the son that sadly never returned. So, amazing write. And Laurent, your thoughts?
The irony of the Battle of Belleau Wood is that Belleau translates as beautiful water. So many battles in the river, in the war, were fought in beautiful environments. Places that shouldn't have seen war, saw war. And it was everywhere. But what I really liked in this particular poem were those last lines. Uncle Charlie did return, a man who heeded the call, but the innocent boy he'd been never came back at all. War changes you. In the same way that the service changes you over a four-year period, even if you don't fight, when you do, you come back different. You've seen things that you can't escape. And you've seen the very worst that man has to offer man. And somehow you survived it, but not as a boy. Great piece.
Oh, absolutely. Well said there. I like that you pointed out the irony of that river's name and the end lines and how, you know, that it changes you, the service does. So great observations. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, I was right on the same line as Laurent was. It reflects so well, this poem, the effects that war has on our young people, you know, our young soldiers. So well written throughout. I just love, you know, that you pointed out the smiling eyes of blue and the dimple on his chin. And then in the end, many a smiling eye of blue never smiled again. And many a young man's family no mourned a dimpled chin. Just beautifully written throughout. Bravo, Seagull.
Absolutely. Well said there. And I would like to welcome Stelina to the show. Welcome, Stelina. Glad you could join us. Are you able to hear us and to get through? Uh-oh. Sounds like she might be having some phone difficulties, too. Not quite sure. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, hopefully she can call back and get through again. And Gray, your thoughts?
You know, you did a beautiful read on it, Weaver, but the poem is deeply engaging, telling the tale of somebody's life as they, you know, went to war and lost their innocence and came back without that innocence. So a powerful telling.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Ruth, your thoughts?
It made me think of all the men who are, men and women who are down on like Skid Row because of what the war did to them, and they never get back what they had, and I think it was a very powerful poem.
Definitely. Wonderful comments, everybody. All right. And all right, well, and thank you so much for, you know, all of you for being here. And up next we have Hidden Wounds by Richard Wiseman, and we have a recording for this one. So here we go.
Hidden Wounds by Richard Wiseman. It's November 11th again. He's been in cities nearly half a century now. No parades, no marching bands will play on his street. Still, his every breath reminds all that he is among those who kissed warm California soil back in the 70s, and he is grateful. So, despite the bone-chilling cold, he smiles for dirty windshields at each stoplight, though his eyes still jump when their autos backfire, and he still struggles to steady a pen when signing the disability checks. The new doc from the VA hospital vaguely recalls him as one of those without the Purple Heart. Old-timers at Main Street's step meeting have his story memorized while patiently giving another white-chipped hug. Some scream, "Get a job!" out whizzing car windows, though most simply ghost his outstretched dirty palm. So tonight, when the champagne bottles pop and the old newsmen praise those who served, remember him, him whose mind is ever fogged by jungle shadows and whose home is nowhere in sight. End of poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Richard. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Kate, your thoughts.
Very powerful. Very powerful, missive. Obviously we're talking about things that are horrible to contemplate, but the fact that you know, someone hones in on one particular person, makes their story known, I think is wonderful. We can't even begin to imagine for 1 second what that must have felt like to come back from and to try and then to integrate back into society. Can't have been easy at all. And then you not able to work because things are so jumped up in your world, and so you have that to deal with as well. I thought this was beautifully written, told a story of hundreds of people have to have lived through this as well. So I think it was beautifully written. Thank you so much for sharing that, Richard.
Oh, absolutely. And I like that you mentioned how difficult it is to integrate back into society. I think that was a very important aspect of the poem. So great observation. And Ruth, your thoughts?
Well, I guess the comment that I made just previous to this is the same. There's too many of our veterans that are really suffering and they don't get help. And it's reflected in that poem as well, and it does upset me quite a lot, because when you go into the service, the United States government owns you. But then when something happens to you, if they can't fix it, they don't own you anymore, and it makes me kind of mad.
It definitely can be horribly frustrating and you know, sad for veterans. Absolutely. And Lauren, your thoughts?
I like very much what was just said about the government owning you. It's absolutely true. I once got so badly sunburned that I could not perform my duties. We were out at sea, and I tell you what, the sun out at sea will bake you. And I got taken into captain's mess, and I had to serve extra duty for damaging government property. So, yes, they do own you. Problem is, they're all too willing to give up the ownership and void the warranty on you when you come back damaged, and it's psychological. Because they can't deal with that. All they can do is give you pills, and those pills don't help, and it's all too easy to turn to alcohol, and before you know it, you're going to AA meetings, and that makes your life worse. And what a great piece. This examines some ramifications that some people just don't think about.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is so true. Great comment there. And I'd like to welcome Selena to the show. Welcome, Selena. Glad you could join us.
Hello. Hi, everyone. I'm sorry I'm having the little gremlin back in. So I'll stay as long as you allow.
Hi, Selena.
All right. Well, I'm glad you could be here.
Thank you. I've been trying a while.
I'll go ahead and bring us on to the next write, which I am going to go ahead and I'm going to put up your poem, Selena, and you are nice enough to supply us with a recording. So here we go.
Again, don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. He's smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue sky drive the dark cloud.
Battle of the Somme. In seeping, slimy sludge, we stagnate in hell on earth. Waist-deep in ice-cold water, pain piercing our bones, feet shrinking in inadequate boots, chafed and raw, trampling down death and disease decay. The night sky illumined with staccato shellfire overhead shows surreal scenarios while burying bayonets into our foes, who, in throes of death, with guts spilling beneath our tread, hold out letters to loved ones with pleading eyes, lost last words. Our brothers in arms sit glassy-eyed, insensate to horrors, some smoking, some squatting, squinting in the half-light, reading well-thumbed leaves from their languishing blood lungs, and the winds of war blow baleful and bleak. Battle of Britain. Sweeping the skies like circling vultures, smouldering remains far below, spectres of cities, homes, lives, spread out like hot glowing coals, bombs dropping like a meteorite shower from a blanket of stars. Out of the caliginous clouds, growing nearer and nearer, swarms of sinister snipers invading the ether, evil eyes upon us.
Bullets rat-a-tat holes in the engines, fuel spurting forth. Our comrades fall to earth like Icarus in furious flames. Ashes to ashes, hanging from parachutes like macabre marionettes, dangling serenely, cold long before they hit the ground in a disjointed heap. Turning back, our friends left behind in no man's land, their loved ones by home fires, rereading their mindful missives. And the winds of war blow baleful and bleak. Vietnam. Stinking sweat, sopping, sweltering in shrouds of green foliage, secreting dangers lurking behind every twitching leaf. We walk on and on, our burdens growing heavier each moment. Silent ambushes stealthily steal, picking off our comrades one by one. Covert mines and mortars, only the overture in this plutonian purgatory. Capture is a fate worse than death in this humid hellhole. For them, the most unspeakable horrors reel their strapado heads. Marijuana musings lead us into psychedelic state of limbo, in which we attempt to expiate our own deeds, salving our consciences. Yet, in moments of lucidity, the inimical images return to shame us. There are no victors in war. All our ravaged remains. And the winds of war blow baleful and bleak. 2022. So, where do we go from here?
Oh my goodness, that was an epic performance. That wasn't just a reading, but absolutely a performance. Wow, it actually reminds me of like the town, the small town I used to live in. Every Memorial Day weekend, they'd show like old war movies from like the 50s, 60s, 70s for free, so people could go and watch them, and it had those kind of sounds and really drew you in. And I'll make more of a comment, but first I want to get thoughts from others. And Gray, your thoughts?
I agree with the comment, epic. I mean, such a wonderful performance, and you know, it's such a descriptive and engaging, right? You know, you really pull you through each war as you go up, come to it, and it's spellbinding. I mean, it really captures your imagination, and you know, and then the answer, I mean, the ending with the question, so where do we go from here? And you know, like with Ukraine and Russia going on at this time, it's a very impactful statement, so well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Kate, your thoughts?
I am very, very impressed. That was so well read, and so much in it, so much that people, you know, you're not thinking about the wars that have come before.
Yeah.
You know, you're sort of, you think about what's happened in your lifetime, but this is a constant thing. This is a constant loss of our fittest and finest throughout years, throughout generations. It's just so sad. And Selena, your read was absolutely wonderful. It was, and the word epic came to my mind too. The minute you came to the end of it, that was the word that sprang to mind. So I am totally impressed, and I think it was absolutely wonderful. Such a such an undertaking. Such an undertaking. Yeah. Brilliant.
Well,
thank you so
absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Kate. And I like how you mentioned that this is an ongoing thing throughout history and not just in our time. And just to let you all know, unfortunately, Selena dropped. I'm guessing it was, you know, internet, you know, that small island that she lives on. I don't think she always gets the best connection. But I know Selena will be listening to the show. Either she's listening now or she'll be listening later. And so she'll get to hear all your lovely comments. And Ruth, your thoughts? Are you still with us, Ruth? Huh. Are you on mute?
Hold on. What? Hello?
Right. Yeah.
I can't hear you very well. Pardon me?
Oh, okay. Yes, yes. Did you want to make a comment on Selena's poem?
Well, Selena is excellent. I love everything she writes. It was very heartfelt. I like the way that she went through the years and was able to pull it all together that, you know, the wars may be different, but the results are the same. I thought it was good.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I love how she brings us through history. I love how she puts the John 15:13 at the beginning, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And the alliteration, the imagery, she doesn't hold back on the raw reality of war, the darkness, how ugly and visceral it is. And then that ending line really captured it all. So 2022, so where do we go from here? You know, amazing ending line, amazing write all the way through and very well done. And welcome back, Selena.
I'm so sorry. This happened to me a lot. If I drop again,
no
just
problem.
Leave me. Just leave me there.
All right, all right. Well, you know, I figured, you know, I know you always have the kind of problems where you live with your internet and such, and I appreciate
terrible.
You. But I told everybody, I said, you know, Selena is either listening now or she'll be listening later, so she'll get to hear all your wonderful comments.
Just
heard
the last couple, so thank you very much. Anyway, I will listen back later. But anyway,
right.
Here for now.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and move forward with some more write. Now, Kate, you don't actually have a write on the board, do you?
No, my dear, I don't.
Okay. Hold on, this is going to be weird, but I'm going to test something.
The pleasure I derive from walking in the rain can't be explained, except there is...
Oh, well, that is you. But somehow, you have a recording, but not a write on the board. Okay, well, I don't know how that happened. That is very strange. I must have done something odd. Okay. So I will go ahead and grab something else then. Let's see what we got here, because I know we have other recordings, and I want to make sure to get those done. All right. Here we go. Oh, yeah, and Naomi. I'm sorry. Would you like to make a comment on Selena's poem?
Yeah, you know, Selena. Like everybody said, this is really an epic write. You know, from the music in the background, you brought us right into the atmosphere of, you know, those early 1900s there, and you know, there's subtle little differences that you show between each war that we read in the you know, in each description. You know, each war was different. It was different in the way they fought. Was different. Yeah. And you bring in those subtle little differences in each of those wars, I noticed. So, you know, just such an excellent, you know, stunning write. And very, 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 you know, thought-provoking to that last sentence that you leave us with, you know, when you know what's going on now with Ukraine and Russia and, you know, where do we go from here?
War never ends.
Yeah, that's it. We never learn, eh?
Even if it's not our fight, you know, even if it's not our fight, it's going somewhere.
Yeah. So, yeah, excellent, excellent, right. Bravo.
Thank you, dear. Thanks.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful comment, Naomi. All right. And up next we have In the Trenches by Diane D. And we have a recording for that. So, here we go.
In the Trenches by Diane D. From under dead men's greatcoats are fumes of warm human blood. Gargantuan rafts fat with human flesh dine in the ocean of mud. Blink the lice from your eyes, soldier. In the trenches, you don't sleep. Duckboard troopers rise to a stand to. A plague of squeakers will eat. Trench foot rot, sank the sandbags. If flat reeked in no man's land, a steady trickle of death and maim. In the trenches, they took a stand. In the trenches, frontline soldiers dug quick relief waste pits. Mustard gas raids a soot dirt aura. Off where the main latrine sits. Young boys dodging sniper shells. Threat of death has them on edge. In the trenches, I die for my country. The words of a soldier's pledge. Your life flashes in the death-muck trenches. When you know your time has come. Tears are forbidden and boys become men. In the trenches of World War I. End poem.
Wonderful read and write, Diane. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is just absolutely appreciated. I have to say, you know, there's certain music that just moves me. And that song, that background music, combined with her words and her imagery, just absolutely moves me to tears. I think it was just absolutely beautiful. And Stelina, your thoughts?
I think this poem really brings home the horrors of what these men went through in the trenches, you know. I mean, the imagery that Diane has brought out in this is fantastic. I love the three-line stanzas, you know, the short three-line stanzas. Technically speaking, it's everything it should have. The lovely, she's got some subtle rhyme going on there and a nice flow to it. But I think more to the point is the in me that she brings out. I mean, right from the very start, you know, we can feel the horror and what these men went through. You know, the gargantuan bats back with human flesh, you know, rats, the lice, the trench foot, everything that, I've read a lot about this era because I like this very much because I think it evokes a lot of emotion and, you know, a lot of strong imagery for a poet, and Diana's done a fantastic job here. I can see underneath Ted Hughes, and yeah, this does remind me of his poetry. I'm quite familiar with it, and she really has written it in this tone. So a wonderful write, Diane. You know, thank you very much for it. It's beautiful. Not beautiful in
absolutely
subject, but beautiful in write, you know. She's done a fantastic job, yeah. She certainly has.
It really is. Wonderful comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. You know, this is, like you said, Pam, that, you know, the music, you know, first of all, the music gets you, you know, that too is one of the, you know, one of the musics that, that pulls at my heartstrings too, and with her reading and all the horrors that she brings forth, you know, it's real, it's raw, and you know, I actually choked up, you know, after the reading, and yeah, really, 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 really touching poem, and very, you know, very emotive, right? So bravo, Diane.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I completely agree. And I do highly encourage anybody who's listening to the show, if you go and check out the contest that I ran for it, or you go to the topic board in Late Night Poets, you'll find the poetry there, or it's being posted during the show. I highly recommend leaving people comments, you know, especially when they really pour their hearts into the poetry. And Kate, your thoughts?
I thought that was incredible. I think this is, and I know it's probably not something that ever would happen, but I think this is a kind of poetry that children, older children obviously, in schools should be able to read, because there is no holds barred, there is nothing gentrified or prettified is not even a word, sorry. There's nothing made nice about this. This is just the honest truth about what it was like. And so, you know, it's not for everybody, but you know, some people might not be able to handle it. But the fact is, that is the truth. That is this is what happened. And it's all right, the films that you see are just films. You know, they're pretend. But this is real.
Exactly.
And I really thought she did a wonderful job. That the words she used are the words that would shock people. And that's what it should do, because war should shock people. It should make people terrified and disgusted and, you know, all of those things. But yes, this is, as I say, perhaps not for younger children, but for older children, this is the kind of thing they need to see, because that is the reality. And I thought it was beautifully done, Diane. Thank you.
Absolutely. Wonderful comments. And Gray and Ruth, I'm going to catch you two at the next round. So up next, we have Remember Now by Hall of Mindfulness. And we do have a recording for this one. So here we go.
Remember Now. As he makes his way across the sand, footprints mark his progress in its firmness, hurrying to the water to feel part of something more, to ease his overwhelming feeling of aloneness. The coolness of its touch garners a response. He's unsure whether to stay or to flee. He pauses a while as it laps around his feet and takes this opportunity to just be. The seaweed stirs and catches around his feet, between his toes, resembling thoughts flowing and snagging, their persistence his greatest foes. His training had prepared him for battle, for fighting enemies known and seen, but the one now raging inside him had him reaching for the amphetamines. His steps take him deeper and deeper, where the seaweed, like his thoughts, thin out, its depth welcoming, inviting, releasing tension, sadness, self-doubt. As his head slips under the water, there comes a still and silent embrace, offering a peace long sought after, an opportunity to come face to face. With the demons replaying their stories of all that had gone before, the bloodshed, the pain, the aching loss, and of all the horrors left in store. But as he sinks further into the silence, the demons dissolve into the deep, the beauty witnessed in this stillness, replacing all he believed was his to keep. As he floats back to the surface, experiencing from a fresh pair of eyes, even to his breath he feels connected, and in the familiar there is no disguise. Once again he feels part of something bigger, no longer him and his thoughts against the world, the seaweed like these thoughts no longer clinging, allowing a willingness to be with life as it unfurls. He steps back into the shallows, alive to all his senses allow, compassion for his fellow fighters. In their memory, he'll live on in the now. End poem. Sam Hall, Hall of Mindfulness.
That one, yes, that one was absolutely just moving. Wonderful read and write, Hall of Mindfulness. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. And Ruth, your thoughts.
I really liked it. It just I don't know exactly what I want to say here, but it's just extremely intense, and I don't know, it just made me feel really, really sad on this one. It must have just touched something for me that I don't think I have words for.
Well, you know, I think sometimes the best compliment you can give a poem is to suddenly lose your words because of being overwhelmed with emotion. So, very well said. Anne Gray, your thoughts?
Well, it was very skillfully read, and you know, it's a deeply engaging poem. You know, takes you through this life of this person that's haunted by his demons, and he steps back into the shadows, alive to all his senses, allow compassion for his fellow fighters in their memory. He'll live on in the now. That's just an epic poem.
It really is. Like you said, it's engaging. It's epic. I really like the parts that you pointed out. This is a powerful write all the way through. You know, I like how she takes it from the perspective of a veteran who has served and has come home and is dealing with not only the physical aching pain, but the demons that are inside the PTSD. I really thought this was just an amazing write on the whole idea of the struggles that veterans go through. You know, I really liked her imagery and her metaphor of the slipping under the water. As his head slips under the water, there comes a still and silent embrace, offering a peace long sought after, an opportunity to come face to face with the demons replaying their stories of all that had gone before the bloodshed, the pain, the aching loss, and of all the horrors left in store. This is another one of those beautifully brutal rites that are honest in its portrayal of not only war itself, but the battles that weapons go through after wars are over. So, amazing right and very well done. All right. And up next we have Battle Scars by Robert M. Unfortunately, we do not have a recording for that, but I will go ahead and give it a read. Here I lay in this field, wounded and weary. My eyes are filled with tears and cannot see clearly. On my hands is my blood and the blood of others who, like me, yearn to return to wives and mothers. But they now lay dead, and I am soon to follow. My eyes are burning, and it hurts to even swallow. I became a soldier because I felt it was needed, but all I feel now is confused and defeated. I can't help thinking that in this hole where I lie is the place where my body and my dreams will die. I want to go home. I want to see my son, but now I am done, and this is what I've won. I want to see my wife and her beautiful smile, but such will only lead me to denial. I want to see my beautiful mother and daughter, but in this path I've chosen, I fell victim to slaughter. All that I have died here on this and other days must have felt this in similar ways. We all were human, living flesh and blood, but now known as expendable, dead in the mud. We are on foreign lands, far from home, surrounded by soldiers, but still feel alone. I have not the strength to reach to the sky. All I can do now is simply question why. At first, I didn't know what I was getting into. It felt right, so I did what I was convinced to do. Now that I am dying, I see how foolish I was, and what determination without thinking does. It's too late now, but things are coming to mind. It's getting colder as time passes, and I'm going blind. My heart is flowing. I am nearing certain death. My daughter is growing, yet I won't see her first steps. My son wants to play ball, just like his dad. I never thought it would ever get this bad. My wife made a garden where seasons she slaved, but now I will only see those flowers at my grave. I know now that war is meaningless, no matter the stakes. I hope my kids do not make the same mistake. I am losing breath now. Heart is skipping beats. So this is how it feels to become one of the deceased. Well, farewell to all of you who made it out alive. Let my friends and family know Hero has died in pain. Wow, now that one was definitely a powerful rite from a first-person point of view, from that of a soldier who is in the in the trenches dying, and that perspective. I have to say, it was a long enough rite that it was actually possible to be out of breath by the time I had to sound like I was out of breath. But now, Kate, your thoughts?
It is amazing how people can put so much of their feelings into what is, after all, just something on a screen. But it just shouts at you, doesn't it, of the suffering and the pain. So sad. And
it really is.
beautifully done, and I do thank you very much for sharing it, because it was real. So thank you.
It was, right? Robert did a wonderful job with that poem, absolutely. And thank you, Kate. And Selena, your thoughts.
Oh, wow. First of all, I want to say that for me, Robert is a fantastic poet, whatever he writes, you know, whatever the theme. But this theme, he's really given himself into it, and he's evoked feelings. Like Katie's response, you know, it evokes feelings that even if you have lived through the kind of experience, you can feel what these people went through and are still going through. The part for me which really makes an impact are the two stanzas. I mean, it's all fantastic, but the two stanzas start, I think it's, let me see, yeah, because it's quite long, sorry, yeah. At first I didn't know what I was getting into, but right, I did what I was convinced to do. And those two stanzas, we feel that a lot of these men who enter the war, I'm not talking about, you know, in the past when they're forced to, but now when they sign up and they think they're going to make a difference, and what they must realize at times, like the futility of it all, you know, they think they're fighting for the good, and they are, but they see cost, you know, they see the cost. And I like how he sort of alternates these lines, you know. My heart is slowing, I am nearing death. My daughter is growing, yet I won't see her first steps. So he's taking us through this man's thought as he's dying, what's happening actually there, and what is happening at home, and the things he won't see. It's such a powerful piece. I think it's a piece that you have to read a couple of times, to be honest.
Oh, definitely. Great
You read it so well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I would have preferred Robert's voice, but thank you.
Robert's voice, amazing.
It is wonderful, that's for sure. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Robert really captured, you know, the emotions in this poem, and you know the reality of a dying soldier, you know, what he must be going through his mind, you know, what he must be thinking, and then you know, almost and praying for, you know, to see his family again. You know, it's so well written, so real and so raw, and so beautifully written. So bravo, Robert. Amazing, amazing write here. Very, very, very touching write.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comments. And all right, up next we have Patriots Never Back Down from a Fight by MJ Donnelly. And Gray, will you give that a read for us, please?
Yes, you bet. One second here. Patriots Never Back Down from a Fight by MJ Donnelly. I have no compunction for the things I've done in protecting our American way. To battle I would, without a doubt, run as the bloodthirsty hounds of hell did bay. Perhaps a distant past life and time, I fought off invading armies and kings, trudging across landscapes of bloody slime, as the heart fought for bell of freedom rings. Forward, lads, and remember your training for kin and country. Let's give these dogs hell. Through the mud and marsh with a rage unfeigning, Patriots stormed, would the Warriors yell? Would you protect your family and friends if you found that their lives were in danger? Because when you do, reality bends, blocking the pain, which is a game changer. Unfortunately, this world is vaulted, and until something changes, war will rage. With greed and egos wrongly exalted, the brave patriots will always engage. A fierce power lies dormant in us all, like a volcano ready to explode. And when you hear freedom's distressing call, the loyal will yell out, "Let's look, lock and load." End poem. In the author's notes,
he says, "Bravo,
dude. As an Army veteran, I know this. I know what sacrifice is. I know what pain is, and I know that there is much more in all of our souls. Some of it haunts, some of it thrills. There is much more that can be uncovered than most will ever comprehend." End comment.
Thank you very much, Gray, for not only reading the poem, but also reading the author's note. And thank you to MJ Donnelly for his service. So much appreciated. And Ruth, your thoughts?
I don't know. These poems are just so heart-rending and truthful. You know, I mean, people are telling, you know, when you can't tell whether the person has experienced it or if they've made it up, that's an impressive poem to me. And I think that a lot of people, when they write poetry, pour themselves into these kinds of poems because they evoke so much intense feeling. That was a very beautiful poem.
Absolutely. Well, I would guess since he put in his AN that he was an American Army veteran, that in part he might have gone through maybe not these exact experiences, but similar or the exact, you know.
I didn't mean it like that.
In general, how all the rights. Yeah. I get what you're saying. Because it has been difficult to tell tonight because we have had people who are writing from their own experience as veterans, and then we have people who pay tribute to veterans through poetry that they're not veterans themselves, but they put themselves in that place. That is very true.
Yeah.
Very true. And Gray, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I like the in-your-face, forthright nature of the poem, no backing down kind of stance that the poem takes. And, you know, he'll do anything for his freedom and his family. So a wonderful poem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It truly is. Truly is an amazing poem. I was really impressed with the heart put into this, the sense of pride. It pays tribute not only to the veterans, but to the patriots who stand by their country, who stand by their veterans. I like that it asks the question, would you protect your family and friends if you found that their lives were in danger? Because when you do, reality bends, blocking the pain, which is a game changer. Thought those were strong lines. I also liked the visceral imagery of trudging across landscape of bloody slime as the hard-fought-for bell of freedom rings. You know, so oftentimes, you know, freedom always comes with a price. And that's, you know, why we need to be thankful to veterans. And so a wonderful write by MJ Donnelly. All right. And up next, we have an apology by Liquid Mind Forever. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes. An apology to all civilian and military boys and girls, men and women, animals, family and friends, as well as all the non-recovered unknown, who have out of their personal sense of loyalty, duty, and love for this great country, willingly, with honor and dignity, stood against our enemy, so that each of us here and abroad could sleep safe within the comfort of our beds and non-terrorized homes. To our freedom fighters, we bow with humble gratitude to acknowledge not only your courage, your unselfish actions, but for all who have, in the course of protecting us and our nation, lost limbs, eyes, ears, lives, not only their bodily parts, but the family and friends they've sacrificed by their commitment to our safety, to our children's safety, and to ensuring we can sleep without mortar, fire, pummeling our streets, our towns, our lands, and waterways. To all who have been asked to place themselves in harm's way, I offer you and all your families, friends, and loved ones my apology. I apology for our ineptitude, our immaturity, our foolishness. War is not an option in a civilized world. Peace is the only option, the only road to salvation for all nations on this planet. I apologize because we all of us could not refuse to host any notion that would require the taking of any life, of any peoples, of any nation. We have not yet awakened. We yet have understood our responsibility to every brother, to every sister, to provide shelter and a peaceful environment in which all nations and all people can live in harmony. I apologize for my shortcomings that allow for war to continue. Each and every one of us contain within our being the power to stamp out all notions of war. Until we develop and expand our depth of power to empower our nations to lay down their weapons, we will still be losing our precious children. May the forces that engineered our minds and bodies grant that we awaken in this very moment, in the age of technology, and blaze a trail of peace and commit to ending any further engagement in war as a commitment for our future generations of children. This is the only true thank you to all of you to stop this mass insanity and cease fire. End poem.
That was an amazing read. Amazing read by you, Naomi. An amazing write by Liquid Mind Forever. Just blew me away. And before we continue with comments, I'm going to bring on area code 509. You're on the air. Who are we speaking to, please?
Jeff. Swan.
Hi. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Hi, Jeff. I'm so glad you could call in. Thank you. And did you get a chance to hear Liquid Mind Forever's poem read by Naomi?
Yes, I heard it. It was good and a solid write. It's very deep, as far as, because you can get into the reasons for war and all that. But, yeah, we really won't, we're always going to struggle with it, I think, forever. But it would be nice to have a world that was full of peace.
It would be a beautiful thing to have a world of peace. I don't know if it's a reality, but it would be a beautiful thing. I really feel like she poured her heart out into this and into the idea that the desire for the goal for everyone is to want peace, but at the same time, it offers up a nod towards the soldiers, who are the veterans who have served. You know, the idea that they make these sacrifices. I think the general tone of it, to me, makes acknowledgement of the sacrifices made for us. So, yeah. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, I agree with what everyone said. Another one of these amazing rites, letting us know, letting us feel just how futile it is. Because if we can't get up and act, if we can't, you know, you can sit back and say, yes, I think this is terrible. We all do it. I do it. We all think, oh, my goodness, this has got to stop. But who's going to stop it? That's the problem. Because wherever there is power or money to be had or lands to be conquered or people wanting what somebody else has, you will always have conflict. It's just the way it seems that we are. We can't accept what we have and live together and help each other. We have to fight to get somebody else's possessions, land, or whatever. And I think that's, as you say, isn't going to change because that seems to be the way we are. And that's quite scary and very sad that we've come to this point in our lives and nothing changes. So I'm sorry, but I think this was beautifully done, but it's a futile hope, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, wonderful comment there. I like those observations. And Naomi, you did a beautiful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I'm with both Jeff and Kate. You know, it would be, you know, so wonderful to have, you know, peace, you know, a world of peace, you know. But, you know, there's always those tyrants that are lurking, you know, like Kate said, the goal of to have more, always more and never be satisfied, you know, more land, more money, more power, you know, it seems to be an obsession. So, you know, sadly, it's the reality, I guess, and a chance we have our soldiers that are out there and willing to serve and protect, you know, protect us. So thank you to all of them, to all of them who served.
Yes. Wonderful comment there, Naomi. Before we move on to our last poem of the night, I would like to acknowledge that we do have quite a few carryovers, and I'll make sure that those get put on another show. I don't know which one yet, but when I know, other people, the people who wrote will know, but I do want everyone who wrote for the show to know that how much we truly appreciate your rights and your time, especially for an important topic and show like this. So thank you. And Jeff, I've gone ahead and I put your poem up. So go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
All right, well, I'll try to get this froggy voice of mine to work. Let's see. I'm trying to find, I don't see it yet.
Okay, well, and if you need somebody else to read it, we can have someone do that.
No, I'm good. I just need to, I don't see it yet.
Oh, maybe, can you refresh?
Okay, there, I got it. Yeah, I did. It just didn't come that. Upon meeting a wounded paratrooper, I saw him on a cold autumn day at a service station. A young man like I once was, he was tall and lean, sporting a high and tight haircut that made his shoulders look a little broader. The All-American emblem of the 82nd Airborne on the faded Army jacket, combat infantryman's badge on the left breast pocket, and jump wings with jump master wreath. I remember taking that course and failing twice in the humid summers of Fort Bragg. He leaned on two wooden crutches with two titanium appendages, each with a shoe. As he began to move, the young man winced from pain that shot through his body. Then I saw the scar on the left side of his face, that punctured the young skin, burning flesh and taking an eye. He left his left hand missing two fingers as he struggled with a small woman who looked to be his mother to their car, a rusty worn Mercury, perhaps older than the boy. A part of me wanted to thank him for his service. Another curse for those who glorify war in movies and make millions, and those would-be leaders known as hawks who pound the pulpit to send the troops. No matter the cause, freedom is never free. It is always vulnerable, and is always vulnerable to those who exploit it. My eyes met his, and with a nod, he knew of my gratitude, and I felt a little awkward shame knowing there was little else that I could do for him. End of point.
Oh, my goodness. I am so glad you were inspired and that you could call in to read. This is another one of those that shows us the harsh reality of the effects of war. You don't hold back on the imagery of the experience, the pain and the missing eye, the missing fingers, you know, the suffering of this young man who still has to, you know, help his mother. Powerful emotive write all the way through. But that second stanza really gets to me especially. So excellent write and very well done. And Gray, your thoughts?
Yeah, you did a beautiful read of that, Jeff. And I really enjoyed the write. You know, I was stood there as you described the scene and looked at this person who's lost his eye, his hand, his legs, and still struggling to get through in life. And just a nod from a stranger can bring some satisfaction to that tragedy. So a beautiful and empathetic write.
Absolutely. Yeah. Empathetic was a good word. And Ruth, your thoughts?
I think that sometimes we see people who have disabilities or something that is different from us, and we don't know what to do. And I think part of that is society, because we don't want to accept imperfections, and so we don't know what to say or what to do or what to be, you know, when we're faced with something like that. That was a very beautiful poem, well written, and you read it very well. I liked it a lot. And can I say one thing, just general? Everybody, it's really nice to hear all these people, because I read all of you guys' poems, and I think, I wonder what that person sounds like. This has been such a nice, nice night, and such a delight to hear everybody, and I appreciate it a lot.
Well, thank you, Ruth. I'm glad you've enjoyed the experience. And Kate, your thoughts?
Sorry, I was.
Oh, are you still with me? Oh, there you are.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. And, again, heartstrings plucked and memories shared. I think tonight has been a revelation, hasn't it, for everybody? We all realize how much we care. You know, because it's brought, and we're able to actually talk about it and mention it. So I think this was wonderful. Again, so much pain and so much bravery. Another beautiful piece of poetry. So I can't really say much more. Sorry. I just thought it was wonderful.
No,
thank
that
you
is
so
a
much.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Kate. Beautiful comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, Jeff, this is so raw and real. You know, we were right there beside you through the whole poem as you were reading. And, you know, we feel so, like Grace said, so empathetic, you know, towards this young soldier. You know, what an utmost wonderful and powerful moving rite this was. And, you know, one thing, line that struck me was, you know, of course, you know, the description of him, you know, with the crutches and the scars and the wounds, but it also the way he takes care of his mother, and also that he, you know, a rusted, worn Mercury, perhaps older than the boy. You know, these veterans, they come back from war. They come back and, you know, they're not rich men. They're poor. And they're proud, but they're poor. You know, and that shows, like, that reflects in your last stanza, what you say there, that, you know, so many people, that they make millions off these poor veterans that you know, they don't have a penny to their name, you know. So just a moving and a real and raw right, and so beautifully written, Jeff. Bravo.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Naomi. And we are at the back end, so I would like to say a few thank yous. First and foremost, thank you to all the veterans and the sacrifices them and their families have made. Thank you to Naomi and Kate for being my twisted sisters for the night. Thank you to Fill My Eyes for everything she does in the background. Thank you, Ruth, Gray, Laurent, Jeff, and so many names for all calling in. Thank you to Dammit Dave and Robbie's Poetry thank you. I apologize, and thank you, Randy, for calling in. Like I said, just too many names. And did I say Laurent? Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Laurent. All right. And thank you to those who hung out on the board. Thank you to those who were listening while we are on live or will be listening later. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show. You are what makes our shows. We truly love and appreciate every one of you. And have a good night, everyone.
Yeah, good night.
Good night, everyone.
Too.